إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، الجنة or paradise is the great prize, the greatest prize that every human being should hope for and strive to reach. When we go over Allah's description of the Jannah in His book and the Prophet's description sallallahu alaihi wasallam in His Sunnah, we wonder why we do not strive as much as we should to attain or acquire this prize. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Jannah to us in numerous ayat of His book, and He tells us that we will get in it, for those who enter it, we will receive in it that which our souls desire and whatever we crave for. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us amazing things about the Jannah, about its soil, that it is made of jewelry and of musk, and the way the people in Jannah are made and fashioned so that they do not suffer of the ailments or hateful things that we suffer in this life, and about the love Allah Azza wa Jal and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell us about the love that is among the people of Jannah, so that there is no such feelings of hatred and dissension that we see in this life. And the description that is mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Jannah is just to approximate the glory and grandeur of the Jannah to us. Otherwise, it's not possible for us, with our state in this life of mind and thinking, to be able to envision or understand the reality of Jannah. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, فِيهَا مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, which means in it there is that which no eye has seen, or and no ear has heard of, and that never has occurred to the heart of a human being. So we cannot comprehend the glory that exists in Jannah. But even without that, we know from Allah's description in His book, as I said, and the Prophet ﷺ description, that the Jannah is so great that every one of us should wish for it and try his best to enter it. And that is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the Jannah, first He told Jibreel alayhi salam, go and look at it. So Jibreel went and looked at it, and he said, O Allah, no one who hears about it but is bound to enter it, will surely enter it. And then فَحُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ. So the Jannah was after that surrounded by hateful things. And then Allah Azza wa Jal told Jibreel, go and look again at it. And he went and looked again at it, and he said, خَشِيْتُ أَلَّا يَدْخُلَهَا أَحَدْ. Now I fear that no one will enter it. Why is this? Because of the short-sightedness of people. Because we are so short-sighted that we do not want to look beyond the first thing that crosses our eyes. So even though the Jannah is so great and glorious and grand, but there is a thin veil of hateful things separating our eyes from it, and we do not want to pierce this veil to see beyond, so that we would exert more effort to enter Jannah. This is true, of course, about most people, except for those whom Allah has favored, whom Allah has engulfed with His mercy. Prophet ﷺ said, من خاف أدلج ومن أدلج بلغ المنزل ألا إن سلعة الله تعالى غالية ألا إن سلعة الله الجنة جاءت الراجفة تتبعها الرادفة جاء الموت بما فيه. Which means, whoever fears, whoever has the true fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and the true fear of His punishment, adlaj, which means he will continue traveling through the night. وَمَنْ أَدْلَجَ بَلَغَ الْمَنْزِلِ. And he who continues who travels persistently, بَلَغَ الْمَنْزِلِ, he will reach his home. أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةً. Verily, the prize of Allah that Allah has prepared for the believers is expensive. أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Indeed, the prize of Allah is Jannah. So the Jannah is an expensive prize, and who can attain it? Those who persevere, who work persistently until they can reach al-manzil, until they can reach their dwelling. And this is the dwelling of the believer, Jannah. In fact, every person, every human has a dwelling in Jannah, whether a believer or a disbeliever. But the believers will reach their dwelling and the disbelievers will not reach it. So they will lose it forever. As the Prophet ﷺ tells us in one of his ahadith regarding the people, what happens to the people after death in Al-Barzakh. So he tells us that for a believer, Allah will show him, or a door will open, or a window will open for him from his grave to the hellfire. And he will be told, this, you see this? This would have been, or could have been, your dwelling in the hellfire if you were a disbeliever. But Allah has saved you from it and replaced it for you, substituted it for you with this one, and he is shown his dwelling in Jannah. To the contrary, for a disbeliever, he is shown similarly the two dwellings. He is shown the dwelling in Jannah, and he is told, this could have been your dwelling in Jannah. But because of your disbelief, Allah Azza wa Jalla has substituted it for you, or it has been substituted for you with this place in the hellfire, wal-iyadhu billah. So the manzil, the dwelling, is there, but we need to work hard, to travel hard and seriously to reach it. Day and night, travel until we reach our destination, our craved and true destination. How do we do that? How do we do this travel? How do we undertake the trip? The Prophet ﷺ explained, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْجَنَّةَ كُلُّكُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. He said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, all of you will enter Jannah, except those who refuse. لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْجَنَّةَ كُلُّكُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. وَشَرَدَ عَلَى اللَّهِ شُرُوكَ شُرُودِ الْبَعِيرِ. And who runs away from Allah like a camel, a rebellious camel runs away from its owner. إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى وَشَرَدَ عَلَى اللَّهِ شُرُودَ الْبَعِيرِ. قَالُوا وَمَنْ يَأْبَى أَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ. The Sahaba asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, who would refuse to enter Jannah? And he صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. Whoever obeys me enters Jannah, and whoever refuses, whoever disobeys me has refused, which means has refused to enter Jannah. So the one who disobeys the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, by this he chooses to not to enter Jannah. This is indeed a great failure, a great loss for a person to select voluntarily to enter, not to enter Jannah, but to enter the hellfire instead. And why do we do this? As I said earlier, because of our short-sightedness, because we do not realize how thin and worthless is this veil that separates us from the great glory of Jannah behind it. Because of this, because we prefer al-ajila over the permanence of Jannah, we prefer the quick pleasures of this life over the permanence of Jannah, because of this we end up, many of us, many of the people, they end up never entering Jannah but residing permanently, eternally in the hellfire, wal-iyadu billah. This is a painful decision that many people take, and the Prophet ﷺ depicts it in his saying, يؤتى بأشد الناس كان بلاء في الدنيا من أهل الجنة. يؤتى بأشد الناس كان بلاء في الدنيا من أهل الجنة. The person of the people of Jannah who was the most tried, the hardest tried, or who had this, the most severe trial in this life, in the dunya, will be brought forth on the day of judgment, that is. يقول الله تعالى يعني أصبغوه صبغة أو صبغة في الجنة, which means give him a little taste of Jannah, give him a slight taste, a touch of Jannah. فَيَصْبُغُونَهُ فِيهَا صُبْغَةً. So they will do this to him, they will give him a touch of Jannah. Who are they? The angels that Allah commands to fulfill his orders. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَا ابْنَ آدَمَ هَلْ رَأَيْتَ بُؤْسًا قَطْ أَوْ شَيْئًا تَكْرَهُ. Allah Azza wa Jalla will then ask him, O son of Adam, did you see in your earlier life, did you see any misery or anything that you disliked? And he would say, لَا وَعِزَّتِكَ, No, by your greatness, by your glory. ما رأيت شيئا أكرهه قط. I have never seen anything that I disliked. So with this slight touch of Jannah, he forgot all the suffering that he had in this life. And we are talking about the one who was most miserable in this life. Now you can think of your misery and my misery and other people's misery, and think to yourself of the one that you can think as having had the most misery in this life. He spent his life maybe in prison. He was hit with the whip. He was whipped every day and night. He was made to eat the worst food all his life until he died, or whatever you can imagine of misery in this life. The person who had the most misery in this life will be touched, just a slight touch with Jannah, from Jannah, and then he would say, I have never seen any misery. On the other hand, the person who had the most relaxed life in this dunya, who thinks that he had the happiest life in this dunya of the people of the hellfire, will be brought forth on the day of resurrection and will be made to taste just a little touch of the hellfire. And then he will be asked the same question or a similar question. O son of Adam, have you tasted any happiness, or have you seen any good before now? And he would say, no, by your glory, my Lord, I have not. So this tells us that all of this deep involvement that people get into in this life, forgetting about the glory and grandeur of the hereafter, of Jannah, is a waste, and that will not benefit them except in moving them away from the dwelling of eternity, of eternal happiness that they could have deserved if they started their travel and persevered in their travel, as the Prophet ﷺ said, and if they acted in obedience to him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Prophet ﷺ said, to similar meanings, ما رأيت مثل النار نام هاربها ولا مثل الجنة قام طالبها. Which means, one of the reports of this same hadith says, ولا مثل الجنة نام طالبها. Same thing. What means, I have not seen anything like the fire in that one who is supposed to run away from it, he is asleep. So, you know, imagine yourself in a place where a great fire starts, in a building where there is a big fire. Can you imagine yourself sleeping, going to sleep in that building while the fire is burning down the building? That's not possible. But people do worse than that. Because that fire in that building is a limited fire in duration and in effect. We sleep, or most people sleep, when they know that the greatest fire, the eternal fire, is coming closer to them a minute by a minute. And he says, I have not seen like the hellfire, like the Jannah, whose seeker is standing or is sleeping. Each one has a meaning different from the other, but both, there are both of these narrations. Nama talibuha, which means the one who is supposed to be seeking Jannah very hard, he is sleeping as well. Now if we have a very important appointment, if we have a great prophet that we are expecting to make on a certain day, or if we have a travel, a trip that we need to make in the morning, an examination, etc. What do? We set the alarm. Maybe we set 5 alarms so that if we do not wake to the first, we wake up to the second, to the third. We tell our friends to wake us up in case we miss our alarms and so on. Because it's such a very important appointment for us. But for the greatest appointment, the greater thing to desire and to work for, we are careless to strive to reach it. We just go to sleep. وَلَمْ أَرَكَ الْجَنَّةِ نَامَ طَالِبُهَا. And the other report, وَلَمْ أَرَكَ الْجَنَّةِ قَامَ طَالِبُهَا. I have not seen anything like Jannah whose seeker stands up, which means the people who truly seek the Jannah, I have not seen anybody like them who is serious in running and leaving sleep for the sake of reaching Jannah. So both meanings are correct in this hadith. So why do we sleep in running after this great prize that Allah Azza wa Jal has prepared for His obedient servants? Allah Azza wa Jal has prepared it. And as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that He adorns it, Allah adorns it, adorns Jannah, for His believing servants, morning and evening, in preparation for their arrival to it. Why do we neglect such an important undertaking? Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, as you heard, مَنْ أَطَعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. Whoever obeys me will surely enter Jannah. And whoever disobeys me has surely refused to enter Jannah. So we know the way to entering Jannah. The way to paradise or to Jannah is obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is through obeying the guide that Allah sent to lead us to Jannah and to warn us from the things that divert us and distract us from reaching our important destination. So we have to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom Allah Azza wa Jal has made His obedience equal to his obedience. The obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is equal to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As He ta'ala said, مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ. Whoever obeys the Messenger has indeed obeyed Allah. So by obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are in reality obeying the one who sent him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who sent him is the one who loves us and who wants us to enter this residence that he prepared for us. And he is the one who gives us the prescription, the method for us to enable us, gives us the method that would enable us to see through the veil that prevents other people from seeing Jannah. So by following the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, we would have a better vision. We would have a better vision. And the Prophet ﷺ describes, as Allah Azza wa Jalla describes, that about the Prophet ﷺ and his two followers, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Say, this is my way. Say, O Muhammad, this is my way. I call, I invite to Allah with basira, with clear vision, I and those who follow me. So the Prophet ﷺ and his followers have a clear vision. And this vision enables them to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. It enables them to distinguish the barriers and the hardships and the hurdles along the way to Jannah, so that they would avoid them and they would step over them, so that they can reach their great destination, the Jannah. So to be of those people, we have to be among the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ala basiratin ana wa man ittaba'ani. We have to be among the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to adhere firmly to his sunnah alayhi salatu wasalam. And as you heard, that this could be hard sometimes. As you heard, that the Jannah is surrounded by hateful things, is surrounded by deceitful things, is surrounded by temptations. As one of the narrations of that same hadith says, the hadith that I started with, which says, فَحُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ. Another narration of it says, فَحُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. It was surrounded by desires, by temptations. So these temptations are what is supposed, or what is meant to test us, and could possibly distract people, and it does distract most people from seeing and working for and reaching the Jannah. So how can we avoid all of this? It is by obeying the guide, by obeying the messenger, by obeying our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As he said to his companions in his final, or close to his death sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though throughout his life he was very keen to remind the Sahaba to adhere to his sunnah, which means to follow his way strictly and closely, and he used to warn from bid'ahs. What is bid'ah? Bid'ah means a practice that deviates from the sunnah, from the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he used in his regular talks to say, وَخَيْرَ الْكَلَامِ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرَ الْهَدِي هَدِي مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَشَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٌ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٌ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Every newly innovated matter in the deen is a bid'ah that leads to the fire. So he always gave this advice to the ummah, because he knows very well that this is the way for the salvation of the ummah, for the ummah to enter the Jannah. So in one of his final speeches and advices alayhi salatu wassalam, which is the well-known hadith of Al-Arbad bin Sariyah radiallahu anhu, he said, he gave the Sahaba a very moving speech. So the Sahaba, or some of them, said, O Allah's Messenger, كَأَنَّهَا مَوَعِظَةُ مُوَدَّعٍ. This sounds like the speech, or the maw'idah, the reproach of somebody who is departing from this life. فَأَوْصِنَا. So give us, or command us, with a final command, a wasiyyah. He said, أُوصِيكُم بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ. I command you to have taqwa of Allah. And أُوصِيكُم, some people may misunderstand this word and think that it means I recommend to you. They may think that he's saying I recommend to you, it's up to you. They think that wasiyah, like a father telling his son, I give you wasiyah, after I die, be good to your relatives, be good to this, do that, etc., that this is optional. No, wasiyah in Arabic means a command. يُوصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنثَيَيْنِ. Allah commands you in regard to your children that the male gets twice as much as two females, and so on. So here the Prophet ﷺ said, "Usikum bi taqwa Allah." And you can see from the remainder of the hadith that it cannot be that he is telling them to do certain voluntary acts. All of this, what he's telling is an obligation, or obligations that if they do not do, if we do not do, we are doomed. There's no way for us to succeed in this life or in the next life if we do not follow this advice. Especially that he said it at the end of his life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or close to that, as a final advice and command to his followers. أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ. I command you to have taqwa of Allah, to fear Allah and revere Him, and realize His watchfulness over you, so that you act with this understanding in your heart. You obey Him in His commands and refrain from His prohibitions with this understanding in your mind, that He is watchful over you and He will reward you for your obedience or punish you if you are disobedient. أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ. And to listen and obey, which means listen to your ruler, to your Muslim ruler, and obey him. وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ وَلَوْ تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ حَبَشِي. Even if he is an Abyssinian slave, even if you think that he probably not the most worthy among you to be your ruler, but once he is your ruler, you have to fully obey him. So the Prophet ﷺ first mentioned the taqwa, which is something that resides in the heart. As he ﷺ said in another hadith, "At-taqwa hahuna, at-taqwa hahuna, at-taqwa hahuna." Taqwa is right here, right here, right here. And he pointed to his heart, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ, which is something related more to the individual than to others. Then he said, وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ, something related to the society, that you have to listen to your carefully, know what your ruler wants from you, your commander, and obey him. Because if you do not know what he is telling you, or you do not try to understand it, or you know it but you choose not to listen, to obey, then this will cause chaos within the body of the ummah. It will cause chaos, killing, destruction, disharmony, dissension, and people will not be able to live their lives correctly and conduct their religion in the way that they are supposed to do it. So, أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Then he explained why he is saying this. Whoever will live after you, indeed, whoever will live after you, فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, will see a great amount of division among the ummah. Disagreement, dissension. Now before I continue, I'd like to remind that Maghrib is in about 20 minutes, right? About. And remember that today is the day of Jum'ah. And we are in the last hour of Jum'ah, the hour about which the Prophet ﷺ said that there is 1 hour. He said the day of Jum'ah is 12 hours. It's a long hadith, but at the end of it he said, and there is on the day of Jum'ah an hour that whenever or any believing servant who would happen in it to be praying to Allah and making dua to him, Allah will certainly answer his dua, and it is the last hour of the day of Jum'ah. So we are in this hour of the last hour of the day of Jum'ah, It is an hour of acceptance of dua. So remember to make dua. I think the dua is more important now than to listen to what I'm saying. But it doesn't have to be a 20-minute dua. But remember, I mean, to do some dua, inshallah, at this important time. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive us and have mercy on us and accept from us. So the Prophet ﷺ said that there will be a great amount of dissension among the Ummah. And this will be seen by those who will live long enough after the Prophet ﷺ. Did this happen? Of course it happened. We see it now everywhere we look. But it actually started not too long after the Prophet ﷺ. It started right after, most clearly and visibly, right after the death of Umar radiallahu an, during the Khilafah of Uthman radiallahu an, and it continued to develop and increase after that. So it was there even during the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. فإنه من يعش منكم فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا فعليكم بسنتي. So how to deal with the division, with the dissension in the Ummah, how to protect ourselves from being drafted with this dissension and dragged into fightings among the Muslims. فعليكم بسنتي. Adhere to my sunnah. وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. And the sunnah of the rightly guided successors after me. عَضُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدِ. Bite onto it with your molar teeth. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالٌ. And beware of the newly innovated matters in the deen, that is, because every bid'ah, every innovated matter like this is an act of misguidance. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ tells us what things remove the division and dissension among the ummah. What things, what are they? The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, to know and understand and practice and implement the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in our lives and among those that we have control over, and also the sunnah of the rightly guided successors after the Prophet ﷺ. Who are they? Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. Did they live by themselves? Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, were they the only Sahaba? Did Abu Bakr act independently from all the other Sahaba and without consulting with them and seeking some of the knowledge that reached them but did not reach him? No. So they were living as a society. The society of the Sahaba continued after the Prophet ﷺ during the time of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and a little bit after that. But during these rightly guided khulafa, the sunnah, the way Islam was established in the lives of the community, of the society, of the Sahaba, over an extended period of time. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying in this hadith, adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of my Sahaba. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is, and somebody may ask, why is the sunnah not sufficient? And the answer is that the Prophet ﷺ, in the tashri'ah that Allah sent with him, he came to establish an ummah and for the deen to be implemented in the lives of communities, not individuals only. And the Prophet ﷺ is an individual who dealt, of course, with other individuals. But there are many things many incidents that take place among the larger community that require some guidance, some explanation for us to know how to act in them. And this comes by way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So that's why he says, Sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai al-rashidin al-mahdiin min ba'di. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alone by itself, independent, taken without the sunnah of the Sahaba, is not sufficient for us to understand our deen. So Allah Azza wa Jalla sent down His book, the Quran. And the Quran is supposed being the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, the final book from Allah, is supposed to tell us everything that we need to know in our lives. It does, but not independently. But not independently, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَنَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. We have sent down to you a dhikr, the dhikr, the reminder, the Quran, so that you would explain to the people what has been sent down to them. So the Prophet ﷺ, with his sunnah, he explains the Quran. So we cannot say, as some ignorant people say, that the Quran by itself is sufficient for us, and we do not want to take the sunnah, we can understand our deen from the Quran alone. This is a stupid statement or understanding, because it is belied by the Quran itself. When Allah Azza wa Jal says that you Muhammad explain the Quran. So how can these people say we do not want your explanation, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So we need the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to explain the Quran to us. And the Quran, together with this explanation, which is the sunnah, they need another further explanation in some situations. And that explanation comes from the understanding and practice of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. In many cases we find that our understanding of Islam, our understanding of the Aqidah, comes from the Sahaba, because we do not have a clear-cut text from the Prophet ﷺ. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever contends with or opposes the messenger after the guidance has been clarified or made clear to him, and follows a way other than the way of the believers, then we give him what he deserves, and we punish him or roast him in the hellfire, and it is the worst of abodes. So the one who follows other than the way of the believers is liable to this warning. And the way of the believers is not, of course, the way of one of the 73 or 72 deviant sects that came way after the Prophet ﷺ. It is not my way, or your way, or anybody's way that made disagree with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. I am not a believer, and you are not a believer, and we are not the believers that Allah meant by this ayah. Because we did not exist at the time when this ayah was revealed. This ayah is talking about a specific class of believers who are the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. سبيل المؤمنين means the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, addressing the Sahaba, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ. If they believe as you believe, then they are guided. If they believe like you believe all companions of the Prophet ﷺ, then they are guided. So for us to be guided, we have to have the belief of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. We have to follow their way, their practices. So the way to paradise, the way to Jannah is the way of the Sunnah and the way of the Sahaba of the Prophet radiallahu anhum and sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they cannot be separated from each other. We cannot say, I take some of this, I leave some. It is a one way that is endorsed by the words of Allah in His book and by the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his Sunnah. فَعَبْدُوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدِ. So bite onto it with your molar teeth. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. And beware of the newly invented matters in the religion that disagree with this way. So may Allah Azza wa Jal enable us, open our eyes, and enable us to see our destination clearly, so that we will act in a way that conforms with this view, and so that we strive hard to reach this destination, the great Jannah. هذا وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.